Шема Исраэль.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, How the World Came to Yanofka, was written by Harry Gersh and suggested by Joseph Geyer's novel, Heart Upon the Rocks.
When I think back, I know the world came to Yanofka before we ever heard of Moisey and Polsky. But we didn't notice it. We lived as we had for hundreds of years before. We were very poor. Of course, everyone says their town was poor. But in Yanofka, if someone heard coins clinking in your pocket, they called you Mister. We lived our lives hard, but we took great joy in the Torah. So we sang. The student sang over the Talmud, the tailor sang over the trousers, the cobbler over his shoes, and I'm the rabbi, I sang for the great privilege of explaining God and the Torah. Moisey Yampolsky said we didn't have anything to sing about, but he didn't understand, not at first. For instance, any Friday morning in our village square, it was like this.
Chickens, ladies, chickens, as white as your souls, as fat as your daughters, chickens, ladies, chickens.
Charity, learned masters, charity saves from death. Charity.
Please, please, today I do not want a bargain. Take the whole package, $150.
Do you take me for a bribe? $75.
I am a merchandist and not a charity. It cost me $125. Take it for that.
You are not a charity, and I am not a goose to be plucked. One. Not one kopeck more.
Who has time to argue? I can hear Alec the crying out.
I'll take one here.
To the bathhouse, friends. To the bathhouse. It is the forenoon.
Charity.
Good
news, charity. Stay right here, sword. Mind that none of those out-of-town beggars steals our spot.
Mind the chickens, Rucho, and remember the prices.
Before each Sabbath and holiday, the men of Yanofka gathered in the bathhouse to cleanse themselves, that their bodies might be fresh when they prayed to the Lord. Then they returned to the market square, while their wives and children went home to prepare the house for the Sabbath. When the last light was in the west and the square was in the shadow, Alec the crier returned.
The sun sets, friends. Prepare for the Sabbath. Close the stores, lock the stalls. Prepare for
Club
the
chickens,
Sabbath.
Chickens, housewife. $175, $150.
Beckon, folks. Stop trading. Stop working.
David, bring in the stand. Hurry, boy, hurry.
Third call. Evening prayers at 20 minutes after 7. First star at 7:30.
And the bride, Sabbath, came to Yanofka.
Shalom Aleichem, Reb Shmaya. Peace be with you.
Aleichem Shalom, Reb Haskell. A new peace.
This was our true life. And as the men of Yanofka gather in the synagogue to greet the Sabbath, the mothers of Yanofka place the brass candlesticks on the table, one for each soul of the household.
Daniel, Gitala, Elka, Zelig,
Sonia, Nathan, Hannah.
The candles were lit, and each mother raised her hands before her face.
My words are as a light before my feet, and may my children walk in the light of the Lord. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has hallowed us by thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the Sabbath light.
So many times have I... But this is about the time the world came to Ganofa. The year was, let me see, the year was 1908. I taught, I interpreted the law, I answered questions, sometimes from the grown people, sometimes from the children. Why is it that a child's questions can be harder to answer than the wisest man's?
Rabbi, last Saturday when I was in the synagogue...
Yes?
I heard a man praying.
A good example, Daniel, good example.
It must be awful hard for God.
Does it worry you, Daniel?
Nochum, the fat prayed for cold weather.
Naturally. He makes his living cutting wood for our stoves. The colder it is, the more wood he sells.
And Hone Plume, the fruit seller, he prayed for mild weather.
Well, he stores autumn fruit to sell in the winter, and severe cold could freeze his stored fruit.
Akiva Redhead prayed for rain.
It's to be expected from a farmer.
Naphtali, the brickmaker, prayed for dry weather.
Hmm?
But they are all godly men. How does God answer all the prayers? How does he?
It's a question, Daniel.
So how does he know, Rabbi?
How's the weather now, Daniel?
Dry and mild.
And last week?
Let me see. On Monday and Tuesday, it rained. And on Thursday, it was cold.
See, Daniel? That was Yanovka, and that was our world. Oh, we knew that there was a larger world outside, that there were things like science and culture. But we believed that a bit of spiritual nobility was more important than physics, that meditating upon the Psalms filled a man with more compassion than a study of Roman history. But put it another way, we believed that the existence of the world did not depend only on museums and libraries, but rather on houses of worship and study. Then, all of a sudden, Moisey Yampolsky was in Yanovka. He didn't come with a driver on Wednesday evening, and he didn't stop at Yenta's Inn. All of a sudden, he was there.
Mama, I think I saw the stranger walking towards the synagogue.
He saw him at the synagogue.
Did you hear? The stranger was in the synagogue in the night.
I tell you, she saw it with her own eyes. He was wearing a long cloak with a lantern in his hand, and he was searching the books in the synagogue.
An unholy spirit.
An exiled soul that can find no peace. Oh, God, have mercy on him.
A police spy looking for trouble.
So I went to see this Moisey. Partly to bring the people to their senses. A stranger is always a frightening thing. And partly, I must admit, to satisfy my own curiosity.
So I scared them. Well, I understand these villages without calendars, but I'll teach them.
So, Reverend Polsky, you're a teacher also.
Yes, a teacher. I'll teach them about the world outside of this village, about modern science and geography. Even about more important things.
Yes. There are some things even more important than science and geography.
Of course. In Odessa, I met a girl who comes from Yanovka, Elka Ludmila.
Elka Ludmila? Oh, yes, Elka Hanna's.
Yes, and she told me that her sister Gitla was soon to be married, probably to a man she'd never seen. It's barbarous.
Barbarous, huh? And how would you do it?
Why, let her choose her own husband.
And if she chose her own husband, would you guarantee a happy marriage?
No, but... Now, look, Rabbi.
Yes?
This is not a question of playing with words. This is a matter of principle, of progress.
So
even you have to change. Even the law must move with the years.
Let me tell you a story, Moisey. A great rabbi once started to study a volume of the Talmud. A day later, his disciples saw that he was still on the first page. A number of days passed, and he was still studying that first page.
So?
Finally, one of the disciples gathered his courage and asked the rabbi why he didn't proceed to the second page. Do you know what he answered, Moisey?
What? What did he say?
He answered, "I feel so good here. Why should I go elsewhere?" I liked Moise Yamborsky, but somehow he seemed to consider me his antagonist. Still, I convinced the people of Yanovka that he was neither a lost soul nor a spy. And soon he was teaching his languages and his sciences to some of the men, and to one boy, Daniel, Elka's brother.
Here, Daniel, do you know what this is?
No. What is it, Moise?
What do you think it is?
It's round. It turns on this axle. Mm-hmm. It's colored red and green and blue.
That's right.
And here is written Russia.
So what is it?
I know. An instrument from the post office.
No, Daniel. It's a picture of the world. It's called a globe.
A picture of the world? How can it be? The world is flat.
No, Daniel. The world is round. The water is the sea, and it's part of the world.
But what does the round world rest on?
On nothing. It floats in the air.
Huh? What keeps it from falling down? The world is so big and heavy, it couldn't float.
Where would it fall to? And look, Daniel, if the world is really, as you say, flat, what keeps the water from spilling over? Hmm?
It can't. It... I don't know. What does keep it? This is the world.
The world is round. But there are ways of telling and ways of teaching. So long as it remained an argument, a flat world, a round world, there was no trouble. But finally, they convinced Beryl, the coachman. And Beryl wasn't the wisest man in Yanovka.
Oh! Oh, oh, oh.
Beryl! You thief! You loafer! You crazy man! You... Where have you been all week? Where are my herring?
There...
You mean that smell?
Yes.
Throw them away. Take them to the river quickly. Wait, where were you?
I went east to the city, and then I continued east to come home.
Why? You fool, you. You know that you have to travel west from the city to Yanovka.
But you were there yourself. You heard Moise Yampolsky. Yampolsky. It's his fault. A round world, huh? I'll teach him about the world around.
Luckily, Moise was visiting me when Beryl went looking for him, so there was no bloodshed. But whether by accident or design, the next worldly thing that Moise brought to Yanovka was practical, something obviously necessary, a fire brigade. The postmaster was elected fire chief. Daniel Hanna was one of the drivers. One Tuesday, it was 3 weeks after Lag Boomer, the fire brigade had its first practice.
Oh, Daniel, why aren't you in school?
It's tryout day for the fire brigade. I'm a driver.
Shmaya! Shmaya, do you hear?
What?
Are you in this silly business also?
Silly business? The fire brigade is a silly business? Wait, you'll change your mind.
This town has been blessed by the Holy One of Stiffenish. And since that time, there hasn't been a fire in Yanovka. If Lipkova wants a fire brigade, that's different. But in Yanovka, to what purpose?
To what purpose, Reb Hutsko? Would you rather see all Yanovka burned to the ground than have a real fire brigade to protect us?
Yes, Reb Hutsko. What do you know about these things? Baltin burned down to the last house, and they had the rabbi's blessing.
But they sinned in Baltin. It could happen even with...
The fire bell! The fire bell! Blow your whistle!
All right. Where are the firemen? Daniel, where are the boys? And the horses? Where is everything?
Is it a real house they're burning?
Oh, do you think we're crazy? They built a shed out of packing boxes. Look, they're bringing out the water carts.
Where are the horses? Did anyone go for the horses?
Beryl went for the horses. Now, Tola, who emptied the water barrel?
I don't know. Why ask me?
But without water, we can't...
Shh, don't make a fuss. The postmaster's wife used it for washing.
This water wasn't to be used for anything. What would we have done if there had been a real fire?
Shh, now, here comes the postmaster. Ask him.
What are you all standing around? Where are the horses?
The stableman says that all the horses were hired out. He doesn't have any left.
Run back. Tell him to give you the mail horses. Here they come anyway.
There they are. The Yanovka Fire Brigade. Hey, Alec. Alec, what are you doing here? You were to stay by the fire until the brigade came.
What was the use? The fire burned out. I came to see what happened to the brigade.
Well, look and you'll see. There they go, down the street. Oh, Daniel, look where you're going. Oh!
Paddy,
brigades are a good thing, but this one got off to a bad start. Seems that the carts, in their hurry to get to the fire, ran through Moshe Mendel's yard and trampled the whole week's wash. The postmaster had to pay for 2 sheets, a pillowcase, a tablecloth, and 3 pairs of long underwear. So he disbanded the fire brigade. It was just about this time that Gittler Hannah's turned 16, and time for her to be married. But Gittler was Daniel's sister.
I tell you, Mother, I will not marry any of those you mention.
God protect us, Gittler. What's gotten into you? You have to get married, don't you?
Oh, I suppose so.
And I've been soft-hearted enough to try to find out which boys pleased you. But we've already named every eligible boy in Yanovka.
No, you haven't.
Oh, so that's it. You mean there's someone else. Gittler, you haven't spoken to anyone yourself. Oh, children, children. Well, let's see who we've missed. Yitzhak, Moshe, Shmuel, Beryl, Grania. I can't think of anyone else. Who can it be? Yitzhak, Moshe, Beryl, Shmuel. I know. Naftali. Naftali, huh? Uh-huh. All right, I'll speak to the matchmaker. More tea, Reb Matchmaker?
Sure, why not?
Good, good.
I tell you, Hannah, the choosing of a husband or a wife is the business of the parents. But the time is coming, and I can see it, when a girl will say to her parents, if I want a husband, I'll go out and find one.
Well, in my own house...
A very wise remark, Hannah. You're a very wise woman.
Yes.
In fact, you should have been born a man. Now, let's see. You know Yankel Moshe's son? A fine boy. You couldn't do any better. I haven't spoken to his father yet, but I think...
No.
What do you mean, no?
That thing on his eye.
What thing?
That growth.
Ah, you noticed it. I never noticed it.
It's as big as a walnut. No.
So what? He's a fine boy. His father will do great things for him.
It's no use talking. Not him.
No, let's see. What do you say to Shmilik Render's only son?
No.
What is this? Can't you say anything else?
How old is he?
He's past 20.
And has he studied 1 page of Talmud since he was bar mitzvahed?
No, all right. All right, what can I do with you? You talk as if Gittel was a grand rabbi's daughter. How about Shmaria's brother's son? The one from Frazinska. Education, a head like a statesman.
Shmaria's brother's son, let me think now. Oh, yes. Now I remember. No.
Again, no? What am I doing here? I thought you wanted a husband for Gittel. What's wrong with this one?
That scandal about him and the serving girl.
That was a scandal? You can't hold that against him.
No.
No. All right, so I don't think I have anyone else.
Oh, yes, you do, Reb Matchmaker. Look again at your card.
No. 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 Oh, here is one. But no more.
Huh?
Last week, I spoke to Rav Chatzko about Gittel for his son Naftali.
Aha!
He agreed. Until yesterday.
What do you mean, until yesterday?
It seems that Naftali has those modern ideas. He told his father he wouldn't have anything to do with a girl presented by a matchmaker.
A little matter of Naftali and Gittler might have been straightened out in a day, but there's one thing about matchmakers they can't keep from talking. Soon the whole town knew about it, and the whole town took sides. It became a question of principle.
I tell you, the old days are gone. We must progress. A young man must have the right to choose his own wife.
I tell you, we are lost without tradition and law. A father must choose his son's wife.
So there was a compromise. One day, Reb Hartzkel brought his son to me.
You talk to him, Rabbi. I can't.
Tell me, Naftali, if you were to choose your own bride, who would you choose?
Why, Gittler Hannah's.
And you, Reb Hartzkel, whom would you choose for a daughter-in-law?
Why, Gittler, of course.
Well,
What's the problem? When the wedding day came, it was just as it always had been. First came the gypsy musicians. Then Yankel the drummer trying to drown out the gypsies. Then the groom, followed by the male guests. The bride, followed by the female guests. And, you know, being modern didn't help the groom one bit. He was just as nervous as I was 40 years ago. Thou art consecrated unto me.
Thou art consecrated unto me.
With this ring.
With this ring.
According to the laws of Moses and Israel.
According to the laws of Moses and Israel.
After that, there were more innovations. But somehow, they weren't an immediate success. Like the telephone. Moise had the merchants in Yanovka almost crazy until they underwrote the bringing in of a telephone. For a couple of weeks, everyone marveled at the new wonder. Then...
It's wonderful. I tell you that the telephone is the greatest invention of the age.
Hoo-ha. Some invention. An invention of the devil.
Why? Isn't it wonderful that you can talk to someone in Kishinev, in Odessa?
Do you know anyone who talked on it?
Sure. Reb Bershon was called to the telephone only last night. Mm.
And what did he hear?
That his brother had died that day.
Nah. And who else?
Shmilek the cobbler had a call. He spoke to his sister and he hadn't spoken to her for 10 years before that.
What did she tell him?
That a house had burned down and they needed money.
Who else?
Big Beryl. Oh, he learned that his son had been run over by a carriage.
Oh, I see what you mean.
After that, the people of Yanovka boycotted the telephone. It brought only bad news. And in a way, they blamed Moise Gampolsky. One day, Moise came to see me.
You win, Rabbi. I came to say goodbye.
I wagered nothing, Moise. And I have won nothing.
But all the new things I wanted to teach the Yanovka, all the things I tried to bring to them, the whole world outside. Didn't you fight against it?
No, I didn't fight against it. I too welcome the new inventions, the new ideas. But they in themselves are not the world.
I don't...
Moise, do not leave Yanovka. You are a good teacher, and we need good teachers. We have to learn about the world and its new ways, its new tongues. Teach us that. But remember, it is not necessary to forget the old laws in order to learn the new. Don't leave yet. And don't decide now. Tomorrow is the Sabbath. Will you come to the synagogue?
Well...
Come.
All right.
You attended all the services, Moise. I hadn't bargained on that.
Well, I wanted to see...
Tell me, you taught Gittel Johannes to read, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
That was one of the changes you brought to Yanovka.
Yes. How many of the women here can read?
Too few. That's why we need teachers. And that's why those women who can read are so welcome at services.
But why? What do they do?
Walk over to the partition.
Happy are they that dwell in...
Here, behind the column. Gittel is sitting there. Listen.
Happy is the people that is thus favored. Yea, happy is the people...
She reads to the others who cannot.
I will extol
you... You see, Moise, a fire brigade is not a change, nor a telephone. Even reading is not a change. Only what you read can produce a change. Like Italy. You have begun to change the pattern of our arts, our techniques. Good. But the pattern of our lives must not change. In Yanovka, the spirit of the Sabbath is felt on each working day. We still feel your pain as deeply as we feel our own. These things will not change. Do you see, Moise?
I see, Rabbi.
And you will stay?
I will stay, Rabbi.
If you would like a copy of today's script,
Please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Joel Schenker, member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary. Mr. Schenker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is not necessary to forget the old laws in order to learn the new. This statement of the rabbi in the play we have just heard has a deep and significant meaning to all Americans. All around us we hear the voices of doom and despair. Our national life is threatened as never before in our history. Our century, which has produced two frightful world wars, threatens to produce still a third. And yet war is not inevitable. It is not necessary to forget the old laws in order to learn the new. Man has, from the beginning of time, lifted up his eyes to the Lord and found the true values of life, the things of the Spirit. Through the ages, man has survived the mechanical horrors of the new techniques by doggedly clinging to the old laws of the Spirit. Oh, history has recorded for us the lives and times of many tyrants. We have survived them all, and I believe that tyranny will never conquer the spirit of man if man but learns to use the new and remember the old. A scoffer once asked the great teacher in Israel, "Tell me, O rabbi, can you explain Judaism to me while standing on one leg?" The rabbi gently replied, "The answer is simple, my son. Love thy neighbor as thyself." This message of love and brotherhood of man, which has been Judaism's great contribution to mankind, is sufficient to save the world from the avalanche which threatens to devour it. There are fanatical forces in the world today that would attempt to remake man in their image, forgetting that man was created in God's image. There have been hundreds of villages like Yanofka in Eastern Europe which have been wiped out. Millions of men and women have been tortured and killed, and their teachers, rabbis, and priests have been erased. But the law of the Lord and Judaism's message of universal brotherhood still shines brightly, a lighthouse of hope, a beacon of salvation. Let us cherish this ideal of world brotherhood. Let us make it a part of our private lives and a part of our daily actions in public, so that we may say, as did the prophet Isaiah of old, "May the time not be too distant when nations shall not make war on nation, nor shall they study war anymore." Thank you.
Our eternal light drama today, How the World Came to Yanofka, was written by Harry Gersh and suggested by Joseph Gare's novel, Hard Upon the Rocks. Music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Kadims. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Peter Capel, Adelaide Klein, and Wendell Holmes were featured in the cast. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Red Cross Month. By giving generously, you will help mobilize for the defense of your family, your community, and your nation. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.